for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, May the 27th, 2010. Ken Kimball is the speaker of this service, teaching on what to do in times of trouble.
I bring greetings from our fellowship down there in New Braunfels, they all say hello and a great big God bless.
Amen.
Good to be here, and I've been here one other time before. It was on a Sunday morning. It wasn't for a camp meeting, so this is our first camp meeting. This is my son, Joshua. Joshua, stand up.
Yeah.
Joshua Kimball, and he plays guitar, banjo, dobro, mandolin, all kinds of things.
Amen.
And I can play the radio, but that's about it. I don't do that very well, but the Lord has called me to preach. He did this many, many years ago when I was just a boy, actually. And then when I was a grown man, I began to preach the Word. And God has opened doors, and really, this year has been the busiest year I've ever had. And so we just praise the Lord for all that He is doing. It's good. Good to be in the service of the King. Amen. Those of you who are servants of the King, and really that should be all of us, you know what I'm talking about. Well, let's get into the Word of God tonight. Amen?
Amen?
We're going to talk about what to do in times of trouble. Everybody, let's please stand if you are able, and let's turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 23, and let's just all, you can probably say it by memory. And we'll be saying it in the King James Version for those of you who have other translations. I memorized it in the King James Version, so if you don't mind, let's all say it in the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, we thank You for this opportunity to share Your Word with these people tonight. Lord, I pray that You would please anoint these lips of clay to preach Your words and Your words only. Lord, if we hear from me tonight, if we hear from Pastor Ken Kimball, we will leave with nothing. But if we hear from You tonight by Your precious Holy Spirit, we will leave here with a treasure. And so, Lord, I pray, please be our speaker this evening. Push Ken Kimball out of the way and be our speaker this evening. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. What to do in times of trouble? How many of you think we're in a time of trouble right now? Just look around. Just look around. Now, I know we're not trying to be negative here, but let's just face the facts. We're in a very difficult time in our nation's history. A very bad, very dark time in our nation's history. And it just doesn't seem to get any better, does it? It just seems to get worse and worse. Well, this I know is because, why do you think that is? I believe it's because we have turned our back on our God as a people. Now, you and I haven't, amen, and I don't intend to. I never will. God help me, I never will. However, our nation, and God deals with nations, don't you agree? He deals with nations, and our nation has turned away from our God. The many nations of Israel, all the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, kindred peoples of the world today have turned our backs on God. And we have a shameful and horrible situation in our nations. The days ahead are uncertain. But I want you to know, what to do in these times of trouble. I want to share with you five things that I believe that you should do, that I should do in times of trouble. The first thing you need to do in times of trouble, and this is something that you already need to have done, is know the Word. Know the Word of God. Hallelujah. In Psalm 119, verse 97 through 105, we read, "Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Thou through thy precepts I get understanding, or through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day." Is the law of God, the Word of God, your meditation all the day? Now think about it. Most of us would have to answer honestly, all the day? That's pushing it a little bit. If you want to triumph and have victory in times of trouble, you need to work towards that goal. Meditate upon the Word of God day and night, all day. As you're walking down the road, down the sidewalk, going to your place of business, whatever you're doing, just meditate on the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Oh, that'll do wonders for you. That'll clean you out. Amen? Memorize the Word of God. We do as a family. We have memorized many, many scriptures. If my family were here, and I have 10 children, if we were all sitting here and we were reciting to you, we could recite Psalm 91. We could recite Psalm 91. We recite that every day. That is the psalm of protection. And believe me, we need protection today. We need protection, especially those of us that are preaching the Word, because the Word is increasingly against the law, if you know what I mean. I mean, in many, many places, if there's somebody in the audience that, like if you say something about what the Bible says on sodomy, for example, if there's people out there that don't like that, they report you, you could be arrested and thrown in jail. It's happened to preachers in America and in Canada, I know of. So we need to know the Word of God. Jesus said, "Whoever hears these words of mine, these sayings of mine," I'm in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." You build your life upon the Word of God. You have the Word of God in you. You know the Word of God. You're building on a rock-solid foundation. And doesn't matter what comes along, you will be sound and safe and secure. Because your life is founded upon the Word of God. You don't build your life upon the Word of God. You build your life on other things. Your life will fall apart. I used to do youth meetings 3, 4, 5 times a week. One youth meeting that we did every year was, "What is your life built on?" And I'd pass out little index cards, and I'd say, "Write on this card, write on these index cards, everything that is near and dear to you. What is important to you in your life? What is your life based upon? What is your life built on? What is really important to you in your life?" And they would write things down like a sports car or sports, girlfriend, boyfriend. You know, the things that kids are really thinking about, you know, and music, whatever, all kinds of answers. Every once in a while, there'd be someone who said the Bible or God or Jesus. But you'd be surprised how many didn't even think about that. And then, of course, after I read one person who had said that Jesus was one of the most important things in life, "Oh, well, I meant to say that too." You know, that's what I meant to say as well. But what they wrote down first, that's what's really important to them. I said, okay, here is, let's say, for example, sports car. Oh, I want a really nice car. That way, I will get attention and the girls will like me. I want a really nice car. I said, well, you just had a wreck. Tore it up. It's not there anymore. I said, well, my life is really revolves around my friends. Revolves around my friends. Well, I said, well, it's a very unfortunate thing, but your friend was in that car when it had an accident. You don't have that friend anymore. That friend died. It's starting to get really serious in the place. Finally, they got the idea that the only thing that you can really count on in this life... Boy, that tambourine got happy. The only thing you can really count on in this life is God and His Holy Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing you can really count on. In times of trouble, you need to know the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted, His defense was the Word. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. He began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto Him a great multitude, so that He entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And He taught them many things by parables. Sorry, I am in the wrong, but Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Forgive me. Matthew chapter 4. Can't read my own writing. Yeah. I apologize. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. How many of you have been tempted of the devil? When He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward unhungered. When the tempter came to Him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live... Oh, I love this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen! Then the devil taketh Him up into the holy city and setteth Him upon the pinnacle of the temple, saith unto Him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again. Notice how every time Satan came at Him with some kind of temptation, what was His response? The written word. It is written. Now you can talk about rhema word as well, but there's nothing stronger than the written word, I believe. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh Him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth Him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, saith unto Him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Ah! Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. So you see, our Lord Jesus Christ quoted the Scriptures when He was tempted of the devil. What makes you think that you can get by without knowing the Word of God? You need to know the Word of God. If our Lord quoted the Scriptures, we should know the Scriptures and quote them as well when we face times of trial. Amen? Christ is the only strength you've got. And believe me, Christ, as according to John chapter 1, Christ is the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. You go on down, verse 14, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ is the only strength we've got. And just like the old preacher once said, sometimes I may tremble. Oh, storms come along and I may tremble. I may be fearful, but the rock never trembles beneath me. Amen. Number one, know the Word of God. What to do in times of trouble? Number one, know the Word of God. Number two, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Do not prop up thyself with your own strength. You don't have any strength. You don't. In your strength and in your own flesh, you are pitiful. I am pitiful. We cannot stand against the wiles of the devil in our own flesh. Martin Luther wrote a song, if I can remember the words. The Prince of Darkness Grim, we tremble not for Him. What if you've got a hymnal that has the words to that song in it, do we? Where's that Baptist hymnal? Where is it? There was one here the other day. There it is. There it is. A Mighty Fortress is Our God is the name of that song. Martin Luther wrote that song. Now let me just read some of the words to you. I think you'll be blessed by it. You probably know most of them anyway. A Mighty Fortress, number 40. This is from the Baptist hymnal. I grew up Baptist. So I grew up with this very hymnal, actually. This is the one that we had in the pew when I was a boy. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark, never failing. Our helper, He, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Ha ha! For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not His equal. You and I, we're no equal for the Prince of Darkness. But in Christ, hey, we can slam dunk Him! Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same. And He must win and will win the battle. Though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The Prince of Darkness grim, we tremble not for Him. His rage we can endure. For lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fell Him. The Word of God. Amen. That Word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Sometimes it's hard to trust in the Lord. Our flesh keeps telling us, we're going to die, we're going to die. Our flesh is telling us, we're never going to pay the bills this month. How are we ever going to do it? How are we ever going to do it? Our flesh is always threatening to undo us, but we need to say, no! Almost hit the mic. Go down here. No! Flesh, no! Flesh! I'm going to listen to the Word of God. Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. We will believe the report of the Lord. Know the Word and trust that Word with all you've got. Trust that Word with all you've got. Do you trust the Lord? Working on it? There was a tightrope artist, and this is a true story. He was going to walk over Niagara Falls, walk across Niagara Falls. There was a rope already strung out there. He was going to go across that tightrope. He was one of the greatest tightrope walker people, whatever you call them, that there was. A famous guy, I don't remember his name, but it's a true story. Mentally ill? No. Well, this guy was talented. Let's say he was a talented fellow. Well, everybody there, he said, how many of you think I can go? They gathered around to see him walk this tightrope across Niagara Falls. Just a portion of it, not the whole thing, you know. And he said, how many of you think I can go across there? And they all said, yeah, you can do it, you can do it. He said, well, who wants to get on my back? What? No takers. Are you surprised? No takers. They said, well, they believed he could do it, but they didn't believe it enough to hang their life on it. Do you trust God's word enough to hang your life on it? You got to trust His word. You got to know it, and you got to trust His word. Don't be fretting yourself over the evildoers. Don't be fretting yourself over the financial situation you see yourself in. Oh, my goodness, I'm a preacher. I live on the tithes and offerings that the people send in, and my wife is a full-time wife and mother. I have 10 children. I don't know how we make it, but we make it. There have been many, 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 many times I could have just, oh, my gosh, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? God always provides. If you remain faithful to Him, and I'm not saying I'm the most faithful person, but I try to be. If you just remain faithful to Him, He'll see that you have what you need. Amen. I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen God's people begging bread. Amen. I was quoting the Word of God, though. Fret not thyself. Don't fret. Don't fret. Psalm chapter 37 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, a lot of people will quote this scripture. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of your heart. And sometimes they just leave that first part out and say, oh, He's going to give me the desires of my heart. Don't ever leave that first part out. It says, delight thyself in the Lord, and then He will give you the desires of your heart. In other words, if He's your delight, well, of course He's going to give you the desires of your heart. Because your desire is Him. A closer walk with Him. Name it and claim it is good to a point, but my friends, you've got to want the things that God wants for you. You can't be wanting the things that your flesh wants, because if He gave you everything your flesh wanted, you know what? You'd be spoiled, rotten, destroyed. I prayed for many things that I hadn't got yet. I'm still going to pray. But God has the ultimate say in whether I get what I'm asking for or not. And it should be that way, shouldn't it? Because I don't know what's best for me. You know, I might think I do. Oh, yeah, if you give me $220 million, Lord, I could do this and that and that and this. And I could. I'm just waiting for that day. And I can do the things that I have in this. And you know, if I delight myself in the Lord, He will give me the desires of my heart, because He knows I'll be a good steward of it. Amen? If I have delighted myself in Him, not in Ken Kimball, not in my precious wife, Donita Kimball. I should love my wife and I should delight myself in her. The Bible says so. But if she's my focus, something's wrong. The Lord Jesus Christ has to be my focus. Delight myself in my precious family. I have wonderful children. And those of you who were here this Sunday when I brought the whole family, I believe I can say this safely, that you know that I have a wonderful family. I'm a little prejudiced, I guess. But I do. I'm very proud of my family. But if I delight myself in my family above God, oh my goodness, I'm asking for all kinds of trouble. For me and for them. Because God's going to take away from you anything that keeps you from Him. You don't want Him to take away anything. He will, if it keeps you from Him. Psalm chapter 46. I got this newfangled Bible here. It's new. And I'm still learning how to do this, okay? So just bear with me. God is our refuge. Psalm chapter 46. God is our refuge and strength. a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. That means, think of that. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Now remember, we're talking about trusting in the Lord, trusting in His Word. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, think of that. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Psalm chapter 62. Psalm chapter 62. 2:8. Psalm chapter 62, I'm sorry, I'm still getting the hang of this thing. Psalm chapter 62, how many times is he going to say Psalm chapter 62? Verse 8, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Friends, don't be fearful. I don't care what's happening in the world today, don't be fearful. How many of you lost anything in that great crash a couple of years ago, the stock crash? Yeah. A lot of people lost a lot. You know, you heard stories right after that, you know, these billionaires that killed themselves, remember? I mean, it happened kind of the same thing as in 1929. It was a horrible thing. Don't fret yourself because of this. Don't be fearful. I want to tell you something that's true. In photography terms, fear is the dark room where negatives are developed. Fear is the dark room where negatives are developed. You don't want to be fearful, because when you are, it's negative faith. Faith moves mountains, but so does fear. Not the kind of mountains you want. Fear is negative faith. Do not be fearful. Do not be fearful, but have faith in God. Have faith in God. Trust in the Lord. Third thing I want you to do, keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. I should have had an amen right there. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and following. And we read a sister verse to this morning at prayer time in Mark chapter 6. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. By the way, I have to just mention this. It says, while He sent the multitudes away. You know, Jesus, whenever He sat down to teach or opened His mouth, whenever He said anything, people followed Him around everywhere. They said, never spake man like this man. So anytime He sat down and started teaching, all people just gather from all around. So He had to send people away. I've never had that problem. I wish I'd had that problem, but I don't have that problem. He had that problem. He had to send people away. He said, come on, my disciples need rest. You do too. You go on home and we'll take up here another time where we left off. Whatever. He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, verse 23, He went up into the mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Now think of this. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And I have to pause right here and say, O thou of little faith? He got out onto the water in a storm. If he is thou of little faith, what's that make you and me? Did you ever think of that? Did you ever think of that? Peter, thou of little faith? He got out on that stormy water and he was walking on it. And I don't know really what he thought. He might have thought something like, hey, wait, I can't walk on water. Well, when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. They that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They got into the ship, and then the wind ceased. And actually, in John chapter 6, in this same account, it says, then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now, let's just think about this. Okay, where was the ship when this story began? Out in the middle of the sea. That's where Jesus went out to meet him on the water. He got into the ship, and immediately it was at the shore. That's a miracle. That means if you follow instructions and you follow the Word of God, you're already where you're going. Ha-ha! Well, I'm getting happy. You're already where you're going. Okay, let me see. What did I say? Get the CD. I don't know what I said. When you follow God's instruction, when you follow the Word of God, you are already where you're going. When you're obedient to the Word of God, you're already where you're going. He got into the ship with Peter, that old little faith Peter, and all of a sudden they were at the other side where they were headed. The destination that they were headed for, they were there because he was obedient. Well, listen, do not be fearful. Always keep your eyes on Jesus. Here's something else you might want to write down. What was Peter's focus? What did he start? His focus was Christ at the beginning when he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come out onto the water. He just wanted confirmation. Is this really Jesus or was it just a spirit? He said, come on. He got out onto the water. He followed the instructions. He was on top of the water. On top. Now that water represents all the storms in life. All the troubles that you may face in life. You follow the instructions of our Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be on top of that water. But if you take your focus off of Christ, and what does it say? It said he noticed that the wind was boisterous and the wind was contrary. He started focusing on the storm. Well, when he focused on the storm, he fell down into it. What you are focused on will consume you. Do you want to be focused on the storm or do you want to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ? Come on, I want to hear you. On the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you focus on that storm. It will consume you. Have you ever known someone? Oh, here comes so-and-so. She's going to talk about her gallbladder again. God help me. And that gallbladder consumed her. All she ever talked about. Oh, my gallbladder. And everybody around was just sick at their stomach because of this woman's gallbladder. Well, let's pray for the woman. Amen. Let's pray for her, but please don't talk about your gallbladder all the time. I want to focus on other things. What you're focused on will consume you, and it'll affect the ones that are around you as well. So if you're being consumed by whatever problems you're facing, and I'm not belittling problems. We all have problems, and sometimes when we're going through a problem, it seems real big to us, doesn't it? it's really nothing in the whole scheme of things. And when you get through it on the other end of it, you're looking back saying, now, why was I so upset about that? Have you ever been there? Why was I so upset about that? Can't believe I was so upset about that. There's a little saying, a little poster I saw. Rule number one, don't sweat the small stuff. Rule number two, it's all small stuff. Keep your eyes on Jesus, folks. The fourth thing, and I've got to hurry along here because there's 5 points. Fourth thing, know that there is a reason for everything. Are you still with me? Are you getting anything out of this tonight? Amen. Know that there is a reason for everything and that all things work together for good. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 28. I still don't have the hang of this. Romans 8, 28. Go down here to verse 28. And we know that all things work together for what? To who? To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. There is a reason for everything. Now, if you're one of those who are called of God according to His purpose, you're going to have things happen in your life for your good. For His good. For your good and His good. Amen. There's a reason for everything in other ways too. You know, we are going through some troublesome times here in America. And like I said, there's a reason for it. What's the reason? We've turned our back on our God. We started strong here in America in Christian roots, but little by little, the adversary is doing his best to take away every Christian underpinning of this nation. And when all those, if he could possibly do it, which I don't believe that's going to happen all that way, I don't believe it's going to totally happen. There's always going to be a remnant. Amen? There's always going to be a remnant. But I believe that America as we know it may come to an end. And I don't look forward to that, and I don't joy in saying that, but I just know what we're doing, we're not getting any better, we're getting worse. It's like the child that gets in trouble, gets a spanking, and so he rebels even more, gets another bigger spanking, rebels even more, just gets worse and worse. That's what's going on in America. So there is a reason for why we are in the place we are today. It's our fault. It's not the heathen. It's us. Because He said, if My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from... Doesn't say if the heathen will turn from their wicked ways. Didn't say that. I mean, you can bemoan and cry about all the heathen in our land and all the Satanists and all that. They're not the problem. The people of God are the problem. If My people, which are called by My name, will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways. Think of that. God's people having wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So, looking around, it seems obvious that we haven't done that. Now, some of us are doing that. And I pray that there would be more and more. That God would draw His people to more and more pray and seek His face, because then we would turn from our wicked ways and He would be able to heal His people. And I believe He wants to do that. Number five, what to do in times of trouble. One, know the Word. Two, trust in the Lord. Number three, keep your eyes on Jesus. Number four, know that there is a reason for everything. And number five, this is so important. They're all important, but just get this. Number five, praise Him. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ at all times. Praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually, how often? Continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. You cannot praise the Lord Jesus Christ and be afraid at the same time. It is impossible. You cannot praise the Lord Jesus Christ and worry at the same time. It is impossible. As you praise Him, all fear and doubt will flee from you, and faith and courage will rise up in your heart. For the Lord our God inhabits the praises of His people. And I have a personal testimony that attests to this. I have 10 children. They're all wonderful. They're all precious. All my girls are redheads, except for one. She's kind of a strawberry blonde. And my son, Joshua, has dark hair like me, and Jonathan has blonde hair like his mother. But they're all precious. I have a daughter named Sarah. And when she was 8 years old, she started to act a little funny. And my mother-in-law got a little concerned when she started, you know, acting like... She said, it's acting like she had a stroke. And so we took her to the emergency room there at the hospital. And they said, they took her to the front of the line. They said, we found a tumor. And I wasn't with them. They were up at my wife's mother's house. And when my wife called and said, Kim, they found a tumor. I mean, your blood run cold, you know. And I was numb. When you get bad news like that, maybe you've got bad news like that from someone that you love in your family. The first thing that I did was I called my friend. It was the middle of the night, or I'd have called everybody. I called my good friend, a preacher in Ireland. His name is Eric Briggs. And he said, oh, brother, let me tell you, I want you to go to Psalm chapter 34. And I went to Psalm chapter 34, and it was just such a blessing to my soul. Sarah, my precious Sarah, had a brain tumor in her head about the size of an orange. How it got there, how it grew to be that big without us really knowing it, I don't know. She did complain of headaches from time to time, but everybody does. And they always went away. We weren't concerned about it, didn't take her to the doctor. Looking back, I guess we should have. But we didn't. This thing grew to be the size of an orange. And they said, this has got to come out or she's going to die. Well, we said, take it out. And the very next day, she was in surgery. She went in early in the morning. We prayed with her. And we prayed the whole time, as I'm sure you would know. It was a long day. And I won't go into all the details at this point because I know we've been here long. But would you let me tell you about this? And it really has to do with praising the Lord and how you can overcome through praising the Lord. How many of you would give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. You must be like them Christians in the New Testament. Preached so long he fell out of the window. I had to raise him to life. Sarah was... A dear, precious girl. And we had a battle that day, and I won't go into all the details, but we were really very down. Very down. And we had an issue with, they wanted to give her some blood, and I said, well, we won't let her just have just any old blood. You know, I don't know how you feel about that here, but the way we feel, the life of the soul is in the blood. And there's a part of your character is actually in your blood. We didn't want her just getting any blood. And they said, well, she's got to have blood or she's going to die. I said, well, you can't give her just any blood. My wife is a universal donor. She's got that whatever type of blood it is. It's a universal donor. You can take her mother's blood and that's fine with us. They said, no, we can't do that. They said, no, we can't do that. Got to test it for 24 hours and it's going to be too late. I said, well... There we are. And you know, when you have a conviction, it's either a conviction or it's not. It's either a conviction all the time, or it's not really a conviction. If I'd have just caved in and said, oh, well, go ahead then. That's not really a conviction. But it is. It's a conviction with me. And there were people around me saying, you horrible person. Don't you know what they said? She could die. I said, she's not having just anybody's blood. My wife's parents, my own parents, friends and family. Now just imagine the tense situation there. That was a battle, my friends. I said, she can have her mother's blood. There you have been offered some blood. If you don't want to take it, that's your deal. We have offered for Donita to give her blood. And so there we were. Well, finally, they did consent that she could give her blood. So she ran to give it, and they took it. We just had to sign a waiver or a release form or whatever you call it. And she got her blood. But in between there, before this happened, we were really down. And everybody was hating me, thinking I'm a cad. So I said, let's just get away from here. So we went into another part of the hospital. We sat down on a gurney. It was a deserted part, one of those empty wings. And my wife and I were just sitting there. You know what she did, my wife? She said, let's sing. And I looked at her like, woman, I don't want to sing. She can be annoying sometimes. Well, you can sing if you want to, but I don't want to. So she starts singing and she's praising the Lord. And I could just see the Lord all over her. She was praising the Lord, and I couldn't help it. I started singing too. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Praising the Lord. And you know what? We both started getting happy. Sarah made it through the surgery. We did lose her 168 days later, but she made it through that surgery. And I believe it was the grace and mercy and blessing of God that she made it, because He put it in my wife's heart to praise Him. And we both praised Him. And He honored that. And I believe He honored me standing on my conviction. Whether you agree with it or not, I believe that He honored my standing on that conviction of mine. Because it was based upon His Word. It wasn't just out of my own head. It was based upon His Word. And He honored that. Later that day, the day after the surgery, when, we felt a great weight lifted off of us. That poor girl, her head was, all swollen up after the surgery. But it was a beautiful sight to us because she was alive. We had not lost her. They said, well, maybe she won't be able to walk. Maybe she won't be able to talk. We just don't know. And I had been fasting. I was going to fast until my daughter said, Daddy. And if she had lost her speech, well, I would have just died, I guess. Because I'm stubborn. I say I'm going to do something, I do it. I opened my mouth last year, said I was going to fast for 40 days, and I did it. Because I'm stubborn. I did it for health reasons and so that I could get closer to the Lord. It's a good thing to do, and there's some fasting books back there. And anyway, I digress. That day after the surgery, I said, hi, sweetie. She melted. I cried, I thank the Lord. I don't know if it was that day, later that day, or maybe the next day, but she recited Psalm chapter 15. She recited all of Psalm chapter 91. No loss of speech there. She got to where she could walk and even run. But in the Lord's divine plan, He decided that it was best that He take her. It's 168 days after the surgery, we did lose her. But that storm, we got through that storm by keeping our eyes on Jesus and by praising the Lord and all of the things that we've talked about tonight. Now, I hope and pray that this message has been a help to you and a blessing. Because that's what, if I can stand up here and just talk, and what good is that? What good is that? I believe all the ministers that are here, we would all agree. We don't want to just stand up here. We want to be a blessing to everyone that's here. I exhort you to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in times of trouble. He is there, and He is ready to reach out to those who reach out to Him. Stand firm in the strength which God supplies and praise His holy name no matter what happens. For if you do these things, you will not fall. Amen? Thank you for listening to me. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.